in the last few days, we're doing a study on the problems we deal with about five ingredients to progress. Today we shall deal with the last two, namely, first of all, the wedding of food to the gods as hindrances to progress, how they arise in the yogis, and how to be mindful of them. The fourth hindrance to progress is restlessness and remorse. This is one kind of hindrance which contaminates the mind, your mind and insight. As for this restlessness, udaccha in Pali, it means distraction of the mind, and as regards remorse, being remorseful about good things undone and bad things done. And given that they are like servants. In the old days, if one cannot pay back the debt which one owes to the creditor will make you become a servant of the creditor. When you become a servant, then you will be at the mercy of the master. You have to work whatever the master asks you to do, whatever the master gives you to take, and you will not be able to live according to your wishes. There's no chance of you doing for the sake of your prosperity and welfare. And how about your children? They will also become naturally domestic servants, thus you are bound to suffer great loss. So do with the practice. If the noting mind is not sustained on object attention, you are bound to feel remorse, so you are bound to lose your prosperity or welfare. As regards the udaccha, restlessness, that is when you are noting, the noting mind is not sustain on the object of attention, instead it is removed from the object of attention. It is said to be cast away or distracted, so that you need to apply your aiming, the power of aiming. If not, you will not be able to exert your ardent energy. Then your noting mind will not be sustained on the object of attention, giving rise to sustained or activated mindfulness, so that you will be, your mind will be out of control, and you will not be able to anchor your body mind on the object of attention. So in order to become familiar with the object to be noted, all you have to do is energetically apply your mind on the object of attention, so that the body mind is sustained firmly and established firmly on the object to be noted, giving rise to concentration. That is, when your noting mind is activated, your mind will fall calm and collected on the object of attention. Then there will be no such thing as distraction. Instead, there will be deepening of concentration, so that you will be free from remorse. In this way, you will overcome your restlessness and remorse. As a servant, you will not be able to do as you wish, and you will be losing your opportunity to do good things. Although in the practice of meditation, if your mind is distracted, if you are feeling restless and remorse about wrongdoing, then you will not be able to deepen your concentration, not to mention cultivating inside knowledge. So as to note it in a sustained manner, all you have to do is energetically focus your attention on the object of attention. In this way, you overcome restlessness and remorse. While you are doing this, if at all your mind is cast away or you become restless, then you should understand that you have become like a servant. So to be able to get out of this service, you have to struggle out of it, just like struggling out of the state of service, servant, you have to note and abandon, keeping your concentration by sustaining your mindfulness. Hence, the late Venerable Mahasi Thera has given this maxim that says, restlessness and remorse are like servants. They need to be overcome. About vichikicca nivarana, hindrance of skeptical doubt, or skeptical doubt as hindrance, it is not only doubtfulness, but also criticizing about things. Now, in a worldly sense, this is not, if you are doubtful about something, whether this road will lead you so and so, or whether this action will end up in so and so, if you're doubtful about that, in the worldly sense, we cannot call it as hindrance, either or nirvana. Nirvana or hindrance, akusala hindrance. And also you cannot call it as akusala, unwholesomeness. Here, vichikesa nirvana, hindrance of skeptical doubt, means doubt and uncertainty about dhamma matters. About the practice, for instance, by just concentrating the mind, will one be able to be absorbed in jhana, or by just concentrating the mind on a conceptual object, will one be able to attain jhana? Such kind of doubt is known as a skeptical doubt. And also, by being able to practice in and out breath, will one be able to realize its tranquility meditation, jhana, and so on. Such are known as skeptical doubt. It's a nivarana, it is a hindrance. As skeptical doubt. And if this is concerning with samatha practice, this is practice of tranquility, meditation, and by, if one is having doubt like this, one will not be able to concentrate one's mind. If one is having doubt and uncertainty about whether by noting as going and standing or sitting and sitting, stay sitting or lying and lying, that is noting four postures, will one be able to, whether this can lead to the realization of inside knowledge and so on. In this way, if one is becoming doubtful and uncertainty about the practice of insight, this is tantamount to having been obsessed with the nivarana, hindrance of skeptical doubt. And if one is able, one is having doubt and uncertainty like this, one will not be able to cultivate vipassana, kalika samadhi, momentary concentration of insight, not to mention cultivating the insight knowledge. So being doubtful and uncertainty about whether by being mindful of the arising and passing away of psychophysical phenomena, will one be able to cultivate insight knowledge? And whether what the teachers are saying are correct or not? And by undertaking this kind of practice, will one be able to realize the path and the fruit? And so on. Such kind of uncertainty known as skeptical doubt, vichikicca. And if this becomes, this arises in your mind in the course of the practice, all you have to do is just note and overcome. Otherwise, you are like coming to a crossroad, a junction, as has been given in the text. This is how it is compared as coming to a crossroad, as for a skeptic, a doubtful person. Suppose one businessman or woman is traveling, taking with him or her money, a lot of money, and the robbers are pursuing him or her. And also there are no security nearby, no security personnel nearby. And Yoshi knows that Yoshi is being pursued by these robbers. And of course, Yoshi will be very much afraid, and Yoshi will have to run at the top of his speed. And at that moment, Yoshi comes to a crossroads where Yoshi cannot decide which way to follow, whether Yoshi should follow the left one or the right one. She is not able to make any decision as to which way to follow. At this point, it is very, one has to be very careful, especially for those who are prone to reasoning, and some people are satisfied only by reasoning, pros and cons of an undertaking or a task. What is this, which is this, and so on. If one is thinking like this, reasoning, in some cases, your valuable time will be wasted. Also, in the practice of meditation, if you are prone to thinking or reasoning, then you'll be wasting your valuable time. If you are thinking or reasoning for 1 minute, then at the rate of one per second, you'll be losing 60 kanika samadhis, and in 5 minutes, 300, and in 1 hour, 3,600 kanika samadhi momentary concentrations will be wasted. Such is how you lose if you are imagining or thinking. Like this, a businessman or woman who was traveling with a load of money, coming to a crossroad and could not make any decision which way to go, and instead he or she may stop at that crossroad when the robbers will come and catch up with him or her and rob him or her of her money, or may kill even, may kill him or her. So if in the course of a practice, if you are just stopping like this at the crossroad, having doubtful and uncertainty, then you'll be attacked by these kilesas, unwholesome deeds, unwholesome states, such as moha, delusion about the object to be noted, lack of clarity about the object to be noted, audacia, restlessness about the noting mind becoming restless and not being able to note a rising object, and also not detesting about the loss of noting mind, and not fearing, ahirika, not in Pali, not fearing the loss of your noting mind. And such unwholesomeness are bound to arise, and you are said to be robbed or even killed by these unwholesome states. So, and then when you perform deeds, good or bad, good deeds will lead to rebirth and good existences, but you will be subject to existential suffering of old age, disease, and death, not to mention if you perform bad deeds and be reborn in bad destinies, you will suffer worse. And that's why if you are being doubtful, with skeptical doubt, and not being able to come to a definite decision, you are said to be overcome by this hindrance of skeptical doubt. And Buddha said that such doubtful person is like one who has come to a crossroads. As we have discussed, we have done already the three nibbana hindrances to progress, plus two which we just discussed, make five hindrances to progress. And if we are able to overcome them, our mind will become, noting mind will become very pure, so that we'll be able to activate our mindfulness with a pure noting mind in all these noting mind consciousness, so that when the preceding noting mind is continuous with the succeeding noting mind, all our noting mind will become purified, free of these hindrances to progress. And such state of affairs is known as citta visuddhi, purification of mind. one of the seven purifications. And in order to be free from such hindrances to progress and purify your mind, all you have to do is practice by guarding your mind with vigilant mindfulness of every arising, so that your noddy mind will become current with the object, will become familiar with the object, energetically applying your noddy mind to the object of attention so as not to miss it or overshoot it, so that instead to be concurrent with the object to be noted, without being cool or without being slack, instead applying with ardent energy, diligently, and with vigilance. Such is yogi's holy work. As the mind becomes pure, you'll be able to note and know the mind and body as the beginning of the infinite knowledge. Such as, for instance, when you are about to sit from a standing position, that is the intention to sit, which is a mentality, and this intention is followed by the actual sitting process, and you are aware of both these things, this intention, which is a mentality, and the actual sitting sitting process, which is the materiality. And in this way, you'll be able to discern mind and body and cultivate knowledge of discernment of mind and body. You're able to come to understand the cause and effect relationship among these two things, mind and body. And not only just cause and effect, you will also come to understand the relevancy of cause and effect, such as the relevant cause giving rise to relevant effect. For instance, if you are going to sit down from the standing position, the intention to sit is the cause, and the sitting, actual sitting process will affect. In this way, the mentality gives rise to materiality, that is, the mentality is the cause, and the materiality is the effect. And when, because there is an intention to sit, there is a sitting process, not the standing process. In this way, you are cause and effect are relevant, not irrelevant. Also, when you are going to stand up from a sitting position, there arises a desire or intention to stand up, followed by actual standing up of your body, becoming lighter and lighter, and so on. In this way, you are seeing the cause and effect linkage, not only just cause and effect, but also see the relevancy of cause and effect. That is, because of the intention to stand up, there arises actual standing up, not sitting position, not sitting down. And the same thing with the other activities, such as hearing, because there is an ear to hear, seeing, because there is an eye to see. And in this way, you come to become aware of the cause and effect relationship, and not only cause, simple cause and effect, but also the relevancy of cause and effect, which are experienced in the course of the practice. When you continue to practice mindfulness, you are bound to see the old being based on the new with respect to these conditions, psychophysical phenomena. They arise and they pass away, the old giving place to the new. As for ordinary beings, Buddhisms, when the mind is well activated, they are bound to see this reality. Otherwise, if their living mind is not going well, they will not be able to see the true nature of this mind, and the nature of mind and object, the nature of cause and effect. That is, if they are overwhelmed by hindrances to progress, such as Kamichana Nirvana, the sense desire hindrance, then they will not be able to see the true nature in this way. As for Sotabana, which realized the first supramundane path, there is no more hindrance or skeptical doubt as hindrance. he or she has abandoned his hindrance to the point of no remainder, and other hindrances as well, partially, although not totally. Therefore, being absent from impediments, belief orders, he or she would go to a quiet place and then reflect or consider that he or she is free from these he or she is from obsessed, being obsessed with the hindrances to progress. And he or she is totally free from these impediments. Thus, if you are able to know all objects, mind or body, and you go to practice, you are able to overcome in this way. You will be able to understand the impermanent nature of objects and other characteristics of mind and body. Because you are free from these obsessed, you are not obsessed with these obsessive defilements anymore. Hence, the Buddha has expounded like this. And in this way, monks, Sarapanna, whether he or she is a monk or a lady, gone to the forest and considers, understands thus that there is no obsession unabandoned in myself, that I am obsessed by mind, so as not to know or see things as they actually are, see things being, cultivate, understands the Four Noble Truths, to be able to penetrate the Four Noble Truths. In this way, he or she is satisfied with his or her result. In this way, Sarabandha, after having gone to the forest, or the root of a tree, or empty hut, or any one of these three places, and by being mindful of one's body, and noting, and considering and understanding that he or she is no more obsessed with these obsessive defilements, so as not to be able to understand, or know, or see things as they actually are. That is, as the noting mind is falling on object of attention, then from the stage of Uddiyavijnana, the rising and passing away of physical phenomena, there is no more prayojana kilesas, obsessive defilements, and if they all at all arises, if they at all arise, they could be noted and abandoned. So in this way, one is free from these coarse form or gross form of obsessive defilements, and how would one be satisfied with oneself by knowing that one is free from being obsessed by these obsessive defilements, so as not to see things or know things as they actually are. So in this way, he or she comes to a definite decision that he or she is free from obsessive defilements, and such is the kind of courage with which one is able to make a decision about the situation of oneself. Even if one is not able to overcome all hindrances to progress, if one is able to overcome the coarse forms of defilements, then one is said to be winning for oneself. It is self-victory. And by winning victory over oneself in one's own right, one is bound to uplift one's honor and dignity, so that if one is fulfilled with moral conduct, one becomes average human being, and if one has this kind of mentality, one's mind is controlled, then one has come to possess the mentality of a human being, and one is worthy to be a human being, as far as the mind is concerned. And if one is honest, cultivated knowledge, then one is above average. The root cause lies in the practice of Satipatthana with full faith and confidence, as given by the Buddha and guided by the teachers, respectfully and carefully. Such as, like when you have correct walking, with Mariko-san, you're bound to come to a correct answer of the arithmetical sum. So to get correct answer, you must do your working. You must seek the method of working. So to see the truth in your life, one must seek to practice in the correct way. You're bound to gain the benefit of the practice. So then you'll be able to control yourself, control your little world, so that your little world becomes peaceful and secure. And by being able to establish your own safe and peaceful world, you are contributing to, for the establishment of the world of the society, peaceful world of the society, so that society will become peaceful and free from dangers and will be protected. Such is establishing peace in the world. Hence, the late Venerable Mother Shadow has given this maxim as regards the conclusion of this review, first reviewing as going into seclusion. One understands the life and form with clear vision, without impurities to cloud it. Such is the maxim given by the late Venerable Mother Shadow to wind up the first reviewing. And after this, having come to this decision, having come to this stage, we were able to practice the Dhamma, practice the meditation in the correct way, systematically, and then we'll be able to get the answer and strive on to this end. That's all.